Welcome to season four of the Handmade Business Diary podcast. We're so excited to have you here. This season, we've been talking about building the maker, building the business. And we've been learning a lot about what that means in terms of your business and you as a maker. I'm so excited. We have a great topic for today. My name is Ciara Mae Stubblefield. I am one of the co-founders, and I am here with
Charlene Dunbar.
Whoop, whoop. So you got two co-founders today, and our focus today is to really dive into really talking about your business growth and really talking about growing your business, scaling your business. So taking it from where you are to growing it, scaling it, and taking it to the next level. And I'm really excited for today because I'm going to put Charlene in the hot seat, not just as a co-founder for Craft Savvy Market, but as an owner of Swakopmund Betty, because she's been in the game for a long time. So, Charlene, are you ready to be in the hot seat?
I am ready for the hot seat. Bring it on.
All right. So, we're going to be talking a lot about scaling and business growth with Charlene. So, Charlene, tell us a little bit about yourself. Tell us a little bit about your business.
Yeah, so Sierra, I'm so glad to be on this episode with you. A little bit about me. And I am oh my gosh, I'm gonna have to edit this out. So a little bit about me. I was born in Liberia, West Africa, and I moved to the States when I was, let's say, a preteen. So the fast forward version is my business. I make clothing inspired by African design that really help, women feel like their authentic selves and really brings joy to their life. And I founded the brand because when I moved to the States as that young preteen girl, it was a struggle to adjust. We got a lot of flack from classmates about being West African, and I really held on tight to my West African heritage through that experience. And when I put on our prints, I would feel so confident, so like bold. And I started the business to really share that feeling with everyone I met and other people who were proud and loved African culture as much as I did. So that's the quick story of Swakopmund Betty. I've been in business for about 12 years now. One of the things that's unique about me is that the majority of the time I've been running my business, I've been working full time as just various roles, including product development, marketing, and right now project management. So a lot of juggling two different plates, but yeah, Swakopmund Betty is my baby. And with this scaling question, definitely I've done a lot of amazing work with scaling, and I've also taken my share of hard knocks when it comes to scaling. So very excited to share on that topic with you.
That is awesome. And some of you may not know, but Charlene and I are sisters. So we're both, founders, co-founders for Craft Savvy Market, but we're also sisters. And I can just tell you for a fact that Charlene came out the womb with a drawing pad and a Sharpie marker from day one. She has always
She
been
can
that girl.
certify. She can certify.
I mean, she came out the womb drawing and coloring and creating things. So kudos if you have kids out there that you're like, this one's always making and crafting. That may be a future business owner that it may not look like it initially, but you just never know
Yeah,
where that could go.
nurture that gift.
So shout outs to Nurture the Gift and shout outs to Charlene as well. If you're listening, that if you I don't know if you caught that, she's been in the game for 12 years with her brand, Swakopmund Betty, and she's worked full time. And so take that as a plug. If you're like, oh, I gotta leave my business and start over here, maybe, maybe not. Know that there are entrepreneurs out there who are launching their business, raising a household, and working full time. It doesn't necessarily mean that it's easy, but it is possible. So I just had to put a plug out there because if you follow social media, I think everybody's relaxed
It's
and just doing
true.
their business, but
It's so
that may
true.
or may not be the case. So we're going to dig into how she grew, but I wanted to just put those points out there that, nurturing that artistic ability early on. And number two, running a business, full-time business and a full-time job, because it's not really a part-time hustle. I'm sure she will get into the growth, but Swakopmund is a brand and a business by itself. So Charlene, thanks for sharing. I hate to put you on the spot as your sister, but I just had to put some of that out there. So, Charlene, tell us about your business growth, about Swakopmund, in terms of how it happened. Did you plan for some of the growth, or was it just really just organic. Can you tell us some of that?
Yeah, so a lot of it was a mixture of those two things, Sierra. I would say that there are definitely a number of intentional things that I've done to grow my business. And then there's things that I said yes to that really grew the business more than I expected. I mean, I'd say like the first one was really all God because, I'd say getting into bulk department stores, that made a big difference in my business. And that really came from our mom being like a faithful Belk customer. You know how hard mom rides for Belk, and she's on their email list, and they had put out that they were having a design competition where, hey, you submit your designs and you could be carried in their stores. And I'm thinking like, yeah, right, there's no way I'm gonna get accepted in this program, but at my mom's very heavy behest, I go ahead and submit my application. And out of 300 applicants, they accepted, I want to say eight. And I was one of the eight. And I mean, that was a total blessing. I mean, they ordered, I mean, imagine I went from selling like 100 dresses a year to like 1200 dresses with that one order. So that was a big game changer in terms of getting exposure, getting a big fat check from Belk. And that's an example of kind of doing something that seems to be a long shot, but it's like, you know what, I'm going to do it anyway. I think a lot of scaling your business, it feels crazy. It feels uncomfortable. It's like, I'm going to pitch this company. They might say, no, I'm going to apply for this thing. I might not get it. But I mean, that one was definitely the grace of God in terms of mom even suggesting that I apply for it, getting behind me, and then me actually getting it. So that was a huge one. Another one that was a big difference maker in my business was working with Zuva. Zuva was a company that kind of pretty much they attracted African American women customers like in droves, and they had this network of designers, and they would hold these pop-ups across different cities. And a lot of people pitch me about, hey, come sell on our website, come sell, in our collective. And for some reason, her pitch really drew me in because a lot of times you put effort into those things and it's like nothing comes out of it. And man, when I tell you, I started touring with Zuva and just like within a weekend, making five figures, I mean, it was insane. So that was something that really made a big difference in my business. And I would say really helped my business to grow out of just the Georgia thing. I mean, yes, Belk helped me to grow, but I would travel to Chicago, to like Oakland, to DC, and it really helped me to strengthen my customer base in those different cities by being a part of that market, besides being wonderful for my revenue. So I mean, things like that, I went with it, and I won't say like growing my business with Zuva was on a strategy plan. It's something that I tried and it played out. Now, some other things, back to your question of things that were intentional. When I think about working with certain consultants and taking their advice seriously, or making investments in ads, or saying, hey, I'm going to partner with this showroom, those things were intentional. And those are other ways that have really helped to make a difference in how much revenue my business brought in. So say
No,
a mixture of both.
that's good, Charlene. I thought when you said Zuva that what you mentioned that you really like their a pitch and their approach, and so it made me think that sometimes as business owners that especially when you want to grow, it doesn't mean you have to just take anyone that maybe there's something you might see that you connect with one pathway versus another, and not necessarily to take anything that comes your way. You know what I mean? Because even though you want to grow, I would imagine that growth, how you grow is important as well. Because you just don't want to maybe connect with every opportunity that it's okay to say, you know what, this is great, but let me look at the big picture and make sure this works for where I'm trying to go. I mean, does that make sense a
No,
little bit?
I think that is very true what you said. I mean, I think the interesting thing about scaling and growth is that there's no one size fits all, and you will take pretty much the same business. Let's say someone making earrings, and there's like six different ways to scale earrings. Maybe, you go the wholesale route, or maybe you like really buckle down on online sales, or maybe you do like in-home parties and that really takes off for you. So you're right, Sada, there's a lot of different ways to get there. And I think you kind of have to count the cost of each one because each one has a different type of investment in terms of time or money or energy that it's going to require. So you've got to kind of sit back and say, for me, for, you know, where I am in my life, the resources that I have, what I'm willing to do, what makes the most sense for me. So I think there is no one size fits all when it comes to scaling. And, you know, you really have to kind of look at each opportunity against, you know, what works for you and what makes sense for you.
That's so good, Charlene. I like the counting the cost of time and money, because I think sometimes we count the cost of money. I mean, you know, if you're talking about growth, obviously you want to make the money, but that time cost is important because, you know, you could, of course, you want to grow, but if it's going to impact your family life or other things, then you do need to factor those into the growth plan, that even if it's a potential, are you willing to count the cost of the time, you know, because the money is there, of course, and you want to grow and make more money. But it's like, am I willing to give these things up in my life in order to get that growth? And that's a good point, that you do have to count. You have to count the cost, not just the financial cost, but the time cost, because that's important as well. So that's really good.
And one thing I'd add to what you just said is that one thing that is consistent about scaling is going to take an investment, right? I mean, so every time that I've scaled all those scenarios that I gave you, Zuva, I had to buy a bunch of inventory up front. I had to pay for a plane ticket. It's like risk, right? I could have flown to New York and five people could have showed up and I would have been like, what am I going to do with these 100 dresses that I brought? Yeah.
No, so, that's good.
I
mean,
I think about Belk. I think about, you know, deciding to like, I'm going to plunk down $600 this month for ads, or I'm going to pay this consultant X amount. There is risk in that. And I think, you know, scaling, you know, just as a business owner, period, you have to be comfortable with risk and kind of, you know, say your prayers, make that decision to say, hey, by faith, I'm going to make this investment. I'm going to make this investment that I could lose. I could spend this money. I could spend all this time and it might not work out, but you know, in faith, I'm going to go ahead and do it and expect a return. But yes, when it comes to scaling, there's usually an investment. I have yet to find a scaling method that doesn't require an investment of time, money, or both. If someone has found me, please hit me up, DM me ASAP. I want to know about it.
Please hit up Charlene. She wants to know if that's possible.
I need to know.
How are you making this happen? I really want to know what your inside connection is.
Listen, people say if you don't have money, you better have time. And it's going to be one or the other, because even the quote unquote, like people say, oh, they're social media. You're going to make a lot of content. You're going to crank out a lot of content. Even the way social media is moving now, like you can't just make content and like get the eyeballs like you used to say 5-6 years ago. Mm-hmm. You're going to have to spend on those ads. So it's going to cost. Either way you slice it, it's going to cost.
No, that is so good, Charlene. It had me thinking too about just even the word growth, what that means. I mean, I was thinking for a craft savvy market that, you know, obviously the first and foremost growth, you want it to be money. I mean, you want to see some growth financially, but sometimes your growth in terms of influence, your growth can be in terms of just growing your brand in terms of the number of people you're able to reach and influence. I thought about for a craft savvy market when we first started, we went from 8 vendors. And I think our last market before COVID, we had about 28. And so we had to make some decisions in terms of growth, not just financial. I mean, obviously we wanted to have financial growth, but the idea of who we could influence, have more vendors, more eyes on our business, more people who are impacted by our business. And so sometimes those are little things to keep in mind for growth as you grow, that, you know, first and foremost, of course, you want to make sure you increase in terms of your money, but sometimes having an impact in terms of growth, an event could help you grow in terms of the number of people who eyeball you and your influence. Mm-hmm. That's a stock that may have some value down the road as well. You know, the capital may not be financial in that moment, but if you can have growth of influence, that's important and it could lead to capital down the road. So I just thought about us with our own growth in terms of the number of vendors that we had, a growth for finances, but there was also a growth for influence because more of those people had eyes on our brand, you know?
With every step, you do have an opportunity for that. And I mean, just to even build on what you just said, you know, for hand business Handmade Business Diary podcast. This podcast, you know, we focus more on podcasting over the markets. And, you know, last night, or I guess a couple of nights ago, we met and I was looking at the stats and just to see, we have listeners in London. We've got listeners in Canada. I mean, it kind of gave me chills. I mean, to think, you know, we just started with a small market with like 8 members, and that someone in London is like dialing in, like, okay, what are you talking about today? And hopefully it's encouraging someone, is adding value to their life. So like you said, Sarah, you start your business and, you know, hopefully it's more than a financial reason that you're doing it, but it's just amazing how, as you grow, like your capacity to help people, to, you know, serve people, impact people really grows. And that's something else to think about, you know, when you're making growth plans and trying to figure out how you want to scale.
No, that's so good, Charlene. I mean, when you do make growth plans, that is something to think about. I mean, a lot of times people run from social media like, I don't want to deal with this. But the reality is that it is here to stay. And if you're talking about growth and growing and scaling, that has to be something that you factor in at least, you know, a couple of platforms to see how you can make an impact there. So Charlene, tell me, how did you know that your brand was even ready to grow? What were some things that you kind of felt that were indicators that you were ready to grow Soft Cocoa Betty?
Yeah, I mean, I think the key one, if I'm honest, was just revenue, right? So I'm always setting revenue goals for myself. So it's almost like, you know, as you reach, say, hey, you know, I made X amount this year, I want to get to Y amount the following year. As you set those goals, you kind of think about, okay, what am I going to do differently to get there? Like, you know, before I'd only depend on online. And then, you know, based on the Zuba experience, I said, hey, there's a lot of money in these in-person markets. How can I leverage that? Okay, I'm selling on Shopify. How can I multiply that to other platforms? So I think, you know, a lot of times the scaling is a natural outgrowth of the goals that you set. I'd say like the most recent one for me that really pushed me to have to scale is, you know, being picked up by a showroom. So like for wholesale, you know, most of my business before that was direct to consumer, i.e. I make the stuff, I sell it to the customer. Mm-hmm. Wholesale, if a dress, just using round numbers, if a dress sells for $100, I have to sell it to the store for $50, which means I need to figure out how to make that dress for $25 so I can get a $25 margin, sell it to them for $50.
Yeah.
And the way that I was doing business, I got picked up by the showroom, rah, rah, rah. And the way that I was making clothes locally, there was no way I was going to make, be able to make that margin for it to make sense for me to sell to stores. So it really, you know, made me get serious. I'd always wanted to produce in West Africa. And when that opportunity came, it wasn't just like, oh, it would be nice. I had to do it. I literally would have been giving those dresses away to the store for free, i.e. no profit to me, if I hadn't figured that out. So that was an example of an opportunity that came that kind of forced me to be like, you can't do business the way you did before when you're just selling on your website and, you know, you have more flexibility on margins. So in terms of, okay, scaling, okay, find a factory, get to the price point I want, make sure the quality is right, make sure they can make it in enough time. Mm-hmm. So that's something that really helped me to grow. And even as the store business has come and gone, I've kept that capability. So now when I sell on my own website, that's an option that I have to enjoy the margin. So, you know, scaling is something that kind of pushes you out of your comfort zone in terms of doing things more efficiently, doing things at a better cost. You know, another thing that really helped me to know I needed to scale was just time. Just, you know, I mentioned working full time, and there's a lot of work outside of the design of the clothes. So it's like, I got to market it. I got to send emails. I got to keep up with social media. Yeah. And it just got to the point I could not do it. I physically could not do it. Yeah. And I was able to hire my marketing manager, Taniqua, and she's taken that off my plate. And that's something I don't have to worry about emails. She gets them cranked out. We meet on the strategy and she executes. So I think another signal of scaling is if you are holding yourself back, like literally see, hey, I could go from making $10,000 a month to making $20,000 a month. But I literally don't have enough hours in the day. I mean, it's like, that's crazy to say you wouldn't go from 10 to 20 just because hire some help, get the help that you need. So that's another part of scaling, being able to recognize where you are holding up your own progress, and it's time to get more help so I can go forward.
That is so good, Charlene. I mean, I think sometimes I would imagine it's a challenge that, you know, more help means more money. And sometimes you're like, I want to spend more money. I want to save my money. But like you're saying, on the flip side, you can actually restrict yourself that whatever money you're saving, you're restricting, you're building a barrier around yourself because there's more that you could do if you have more reach and more people on the team. So that's a good point that you almost have to get out of your head in a way to rethink some things to say, you know what, I am saving money by doing this on my own, but again, there's a cost that I'm paying anyway that I am restricting myself because I could reach more people, but because I'm too tired to write that email, you know, and I'm too cheap to pay someone to help me write it, I can't reach as many people via email. So that's a good point that sometimes there's hard decisions you have to make that whatever money you think you're saving, there's always a cost. So then you may be restricting yourself by not hiring a team because you're trying to save money, you know? So that's
really good. And I don't say it in a way like it's easy. It's a tough choice. I mean, you know, a lot of times it's a catch 22 of you need the help, but you can't afford the help. So it's like this nasty, vicious cycle of, it's like, I need more help, but again, faith, risk.
Yeah.
You might have to say, like, for me, in my clothing example, I might say, I'm going to literally buy less inventory because it's more important for me to take my pool of funds and apply it towards more help or ads to jumpstart things. So I'm not saying, like, you know, it's a magic wand. Oh, just go hire three people. No, because even that decision can be difficult. But if you say, hey, this is my road to grow, that's a risk or sacrifice that you might have to make that in the long run is going to pay off.
No, that's really good. That's just something to consider. So I like what you said about just having a shift when you went from really selling to your customers to wholesale. That was almost like a mindset shift, a system shift, that you couldn't go with the old approach in this new with this new path you're trying to take. And I thought about us for Craft Savvy Market for podcasting. When we made the shift from market to podcasting, we had to rethink our approach. You know, the way we set up a market and pursuit a market is definitely not the way that we do podcasting. And if we held on just to the market system, we wouldn't be able to do podcasting because that's a whole other system. So you do have to, when you pivot or you grow or you realize that you have to widen your path or change your approach, to have the willingness to understand that this may have worked in this season with this approach, but it doesn't mean I can take it over here because it's not the same thing, that I have to make some changes. So I like the fact that you could recognize that the way you approach customers in terms of your how much you're going to make and your income and all that, it wasn't going to be the same with wholesale. It was a whole different can of worms that you could apply some of it, but you couldn't just say, I'm going to take this and use it over here, you know. You can't really copy the piece. That's a whole new system.
It's a mindset shift. And when you scale, you just have to be comfortable with change. You have to be comfortable with, I know I've done it this way for this many years, but to get to that high level, I'm going to have to change it up. And that's usually highly uncomfortable. So what you just said.
All right. So we got a lot of risks that need to be taken and getting comfortable being uncomfortable. Charlene, you've got to hit on some challenges, but can you share maybe a few other challenges that just come along with growing your business, and things that you didn't really expect that you kind of learned? You shared one or two, but if you have any more that you can share.
Yeah, I'd say the biggest one for me is that every time you grow, you know, talking about building the maker, building the business, you have to operate at a higher personal level. I mean, I think about when, you know, pre-Belk, you know, a lot of the growth that I've had is just me. So now it's like, I have to make sure my marketing manager is on track, that she has what she needs to be successful. I need to work with my factory, make sure they're on track. And managing yourself versus managing other people are two different animals. And a lot of times I struggle with that. It's like, I want to slink back just to like managing myself. But, you know, the wheels really come off if I'm not managing kind of the bigger team that's taking care of other things on my behalf. So I think every time you level up, there the side of me that's really good at sewing prototypes and picking fabric is different than the side of is the person who has to set up recurring calls, you know, with their team member who checks in with their factory. It's like it's just a different skill set. So I think people probably don't appreciate like how much of a higher level of yourself it requires when you scale. I mean, doing this strategy work, sitting down and say, let me look at my numbers. Is this still working? Let me pivot to something else. You know, I need to do more selling. I need to pitch to this big store. That's different from I'm in my basement, I'm making these skirts and I hope they're gonna buy it. You know, so a lot of times it the thing that you enjoy doing when you started your creative business to grow it sometimes is less of the things that are quote unquote what you would call fun. And I think that is that's a tough reality when you're in a creative business. And I love the creative side, but I've had to honor and really take seriously the non-creative stuff, whether it's like networking, picking up the phone to call someone, crafting an email. I mean, there's a lot of parts of it that's not, oh, I just want to create. So I think being willing to kind of do those things that might not come as second nature. Hey, if this is what's required for my business to grow and to maintain, then yeah, there's a lot of personal work that's needed.
Wow, that's a good show. That's good, because I mean, you're right. When you start off, you got into it for a reason, but doing that may not necessarily be when you go from just selling to actually scaling, that you can't just keep that. It doesn't mean you have to give it up, but you have to understand that even the things you didn't like that you discovered, you still have to embrace it. You know, either give it to someone else or you embrace it yourself. Sounds like what you're saying. So, you know, and again, because you're scaling, you're growing bigger. So you can't just pick and choose the quote unquote fun stuff. You know, you got to do all the stuff because it's all on you, you know. I like what you said too about managing people on your team, because if something goes wrong, hey, imagine what's up for Betty. If the color is wrong or the dress is wrong, it's like, you know, you can't really say, hey, you messed up. It's like, well, who's trying to sell this stuff? You are. So
Right.
it's
The buck
not your
stops with
problem. I mean,
you.
yes, you
It
know, they
stops
may
with
have
you.
messed up, but at the end of the day, it's your problem because you're the one who's trying to get the
That's
thing
right.
out there, you know.
That's
So
right.
that's a good point, you know, that the team can't manage themselves. That's where you come in
No.
because you made the
You come.
investment.
And is your buck on the line? Is your brand on the line, right? So I mean, the person working with you or for you, I mean, they have some skin in the game, but as the owner, typically you have the most skin in the game. So, you know, like you said, it's in your interest to follow up. It's in your interest to make sure it's right because no one's going to be more passionate about your business than you. Now, hopefully you get a leadership team that can kind of carry the vision and do it to the level that you would do it at. But, you know, when you're starting out or growing, you can't just leave it to chance to some vendor like, oh, of course they're going to do a great job. No. They will do a great job if you make sure they do a great job, right?
It's like, wait, I hire you to do this. It's like, I don't have to run this. I don't have to do this.
There
I
is
can
no
bounce.
fix it and forget it in this
You go
creative
figure
business.
it out.
No.
Got this
Somebody
on
find
autopilot.
the fix it and forget it package.
I
Please call
know.
me.
No,
Please
I
call me.
know. You know, and what you say, because I think sometimes when you follow people on social media, it's like, hey, just get your system set up and go. And you know, systems are important, but you have to be involved in the nitty-gritty of your business. I mean, like you said, you can't just set it and forget it. You have to be monitoring those things and watching what's happening, because those teams don't have as much skin in the game as you do. I mean, they're helping your brand move forward, but at the end of the day, is your name, is your business, is your impact, you know, your funds, you know, is all on you, you know. So that's good. That's good. Well, Charlene, we kind of talked about some things that we don't like as much, or that things that may be some challenges. What about some positive things for growing your business? What have you enjoyed the most with growing Swap Betty?
Yeah, so a couple of things that have been pretty amazing with growing the business. I mean, I mentioned starting to manufacture in West Africa, and adjacent to that, I've begun sourcing more than half of my fabric from Nigeria is hand dyed. So it's been super, super exciting to work with a woman-owned business in Nigeria and kind of bring her enough business that she's able to grow her business and just see that benefit. I mean, one of the things that's important to Swakopo Betty is that, you know, African fashion, African inspired fashion, that it benefits local West African economies. So to be able to kind of make that leap to say, hey, we're going to get more of our stuff from the factory in Nigeria. We're going to get more of our product from the dyers, and to hear like, oh yeah, I hired 5 more people. That's amazing to know that is touch, you know, is helping people's lives. It's not just cute dresses, but mm-hmm. literally some a job because of this business. And the other thing that's really fun is just meeting my customers. I love meeting my customers. There's so many dope women. They're, you know, they're strong, you know, they're holding up their families, they're making boss moves. So just to meet them, I'm so proud to be able to dress women like that. So meeting them, you know, hearing them say, hey, I wore your jacket during this big presentation and I felt so powerful. I mean, it's like, hey, I'm really out here helping people. So that is one of the best parts of this business, meeting my customers and knowing that my outfit, this piece, you know, made a difference for them.
That's awesome, Charlene. I like it because you make an effort to tag your customers in your pictures. And if you follow Charlene on social media, you'll know that there's a lot of just different people she features who are rocking Swakopo Betty. And I like that there's so many different people that are impacted by it or see your dress. You know, there's been times I've worn a Swakopo Betty dress and someone will stop me somewhere and say, hey, wait a minute. I think Charlene actually made a sale one time. Our mom was going in for surgery. I think she had a dress on at the hospital. Yeah. I think somebody else was like, hey, dress you're wearing. So
she literally
finds her customers in different places. So that is kind of nice that you can see the impact that you make, not just with customers, but supporting something you believe in, like women businesses, and also knowing that your brand showcases where you're from, you know, from mm-hmm. Liberia, West Africa. So that is definitely a big plus. I was trying to think too on the craft savvy side. One of the benefits that has been as we have grown the brand to podcasting, and mm-hmm. you know, I didn't expect to enjoy connecting with the maker as much as I do. You know, when we had it as a market, you know, we of course got to connect with makers and it was nice, but it's been really fun to do interviews with makers and just let them share their story, you know, things that you wouldn't have time to do with market. You know, you kind of talk for a little bit, mm-hmm. but you don't get to know people. But I have enjoyed for podcasting that we get to connect with many makers and hear their story, you know, that is not just the product, but the things they got through to get that product to market. That is not a small, it hasn't been it's not a simple journey, and everybody's journey looks different. So that's
been really I've learned so much from their stories. I mean, like you mm-hmm. said, when you do a market with someone, you know, you kind of see superficially, okay, here's their product. You chat with them briefly. But I mean, I remember I got to talk to Deona from Comfy Art in the episode about collaboration, and just it was so helpful to hear about her inner work and things that she's had to do to collaborate, but really to grow her business. So it's just, you know, these conversations have really been a blessing.
Yeah, it really has been a blessing. So we have definitely enjoyed podcasting and seeing our business, our brand grow in terms of Craft Savvy Market and the Handmade Business Diary podcast, to see the growth as we continue to expand our podcast reach. So Charlene, you've been in the game for 12 years. We're going to close with some tips from you. Can you share just any kind of tips for makers who kind of don't know where to start with growth? They're kind of scratching their head and wondering kind of where to start. Before I give Charlene the mic, I will say this, 12 years is 12 years. I'm sure she'll hit on that, but you know, I'm sure she'll share that 12 years is different from whatever your starting point may be. So 12 years is 12 years. So Charlene, what are some tips that you can share from your 12 years in terms of starting with growth?
Yes. Yeah, so I could say a lot, but you know, I started off with just definitely take your business to God. I mean, at Craft Savvy Market, we believe in Jesus. And, you know, I've had to grow in the area of really trusting God with my business, but he sees everything. He knows the end point for my life. So I think as I am more prayerful about my business now, that's something that I wish I had done even more in the earlier years. Just, you know, for him to give me strategy, for him to do different things that I might have struggled to do on my own. So As you walk with Jesus, lift up your business to him. He's concerned about it. He cares about your business. And, as it's part of his will for you, he's going to help you with it. He's not going to say, okay, I care about this stuff, but I don't care about that. So trust God with your business, even with your scaling choices. I'd say, be willing to take risks that a lot of times you're looking to grow your business. You're going to have to move past what you can see or what you can kind of predict easily. So be willing to take risks. We talked about counting the costs and kind of, recognizing, hey, this is going to require either dollars or time or both. And the last thing that I would say is success leaves clues. I mean, it's been so fun. I've got Swap Up with Betty, but I'm also a part of Craft Savvy Market. So I get to see other makers. So it's just so fun to observe the different paths there are to growing your business. I mean, Anitra from Reflection Design, she's done a fabulous job. She's, she's done a lot of different things, but I know she has like a thriving YouTube page. So there are so many ways to skin the cat. And, if you feel like, well, everyone's doing this, but that won't work for me, there's another way. There's probably another way that you can grow your business that makes sense and that works for you. So don't feel like, you have to follow what everyone else is doing to grow your business. So I could say more, but I will leave it with those three or four things.
No, that's great, Charlene. What I like about those is that, whether you've been in the game for years or if you just started, those are concrete tips. I mean, like she said, praying for your business, include your business in your prayer time. That, like she mentioned, God cares about you and cares about the direction for your business. He wants you to be successful. The taking risks, counting the costs, and really her quote, success leaves clues. And those are such good things, as you listen to this and what Charlene is saying, 12 years in the game, maybe reflect on these things. What can you start? If you can't do everything she's talked about, maybe break it up and say, I'm going to do this one thing, or I'm going to do these two things. Maybe bus set time, to really get yourself on the journey of business growth. So Charlene, thank you for being honest and just thoughtful with your responses. I mean, that's something we all want to do. We all want to grow and scale and be large. But I'm glad you share with us the truth and the good and bad behind it. That is not necessarily easy breezy, that there is a lot to think about. Charlene, any final thoughts before we shut this down? Anything that you want to say, that maybe you haven't shared that you would like to take an opportunity to share before we close?
Yeah, just say thank you for having me, Ciara. I've enjoyed this conversation. I've learned from this conversation. So just thank you for having me on to talk about my growing / scaling journey. To whoever's listening to this podcast episode, I just want to encourage you. It is possible. It is possible. You might be like, if this crazy girl who had a full-time job, family, kids, could grow her business, by God's grace, you can grow yours. So just be encouraged and, pray and just kind of, kind of decide, hey, this is what I'm willing to do to get this business to the next level. So thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Check out Swap Up with Betty on Instagram. Definitely join the email list, Instagram at swapupwithbetty.com, and then email www.swapupwithbetty. That's SUAKOKOBETTY.com. Check us out. You want some joy? You want some authenticity? We're here for you.
Yep, that's phenomenal. I'm so glad they know where to find you. And Charlene, just a quick plug to tell people, where did Swap Up with Betty come from? Where did that name come from?
Fun fact. So Swap Up with Betty was not the first name for my business. I'm not going to speak on the first name. You can check out another episode for that. But I'm Liberian, so me and Seattle are Liberian, and our dad's hometown in Liberia is Swakoko. Mm-hmm. I always loved that name, and when I was ready for a name change, pretty much, I was praying about it, and I started looking into the meaning of Swakoko, and I found that the first three letters, Sua, means new beginning, new era, and then the last part, Koko, means place, and for what I wanted to do with African prints, to kind of make them, bring them into everyday wear, everyday dresses, skirts. It was perfect because it was a place of new beginning. And then the Betty was just like the girl next door vibe. So that's how Betty was born.
That is fantastic. So there you have it. Like she said, check her out. She's on Instagram, Facebook, sign up for her newsletter, check out her website, Swakopo Betty. You cannot go wrong. We're really excited. So Charlene, thanks for sharing on this episode. And as we wind it down, we just want to say thanks to all our audience for always supporting us. Share this episode with a friend, let them know what we're all about. And if you haven't checked out some previous episodes of the Handmade Business Diary podcast, check it out. Like I said, this is season four. So we've got plenty other seasons for you to go back and listen in on. If you want to find us, our brand, Craft Savvy Market, we are on Instagram, we are on Facebook. So check us out. We've got our website as well, where you can go there and go straight to our Handmade Business Diary podcast. So any opportunity to connect with you, appreciate it. Sign up for our newsletter so you'll always be in the know for any new information or new event that we have going down. And we're glad to have you. So just on behalf of me and all of the founders of the Handmade Business Diary podcast and Craft Savvy Market, we are signing off. Take care. Till the next episode, we are out.
Thanks, everyone. Bye.
Bye.